Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week we'll review Black Friday.
Black Friday.
Black Friday. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts and then we'll go to deep spoiler analysis. So I think we're going to
review
Black Friday.
Yeah. A week after we reviewed
Black Christmas.
Yeah. Don't you mean Green Friday? No, I don't know.
That's right. Green Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, this is kind of telling, but I forgot about that character.
Yeah.
I mean, not her fault. Just like I forgot about her character.
Yeah. Black Friday is the new Devon Sawa. Am I saying that way? Sawa.
Yeah,
Sawa. Sure. Bruce Campbell movie that is set during Black Friday, and there's like parasites and zombies and aliens in it. So, and I don't know.
Turkey-like monsters.
No-nose turkey-like. Yeah, monsters.
Yeah. Devon Sawa, the new Michael Anthony Hall.
The new...
Right?
That's good. I have a lot of... Yeah. I was really surprised by his overall look. He's totally different.
I was like, whoa, what happened to this guy? Yeah.
Yeah, he's changed so much. But first, John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny...
Five words...
Plot summary...
Drum roll, please.
I sure do.
For Johnny's five-word plot summary for
Black Friday,
coming in at number in no particular order. Shop smart, shop Thanksgiving smart.
Yeah,
if you know, you know.
Yeah.
For another one, I have, we finally get Turkey Monster.
Sort of. Yes.
They were bird-like towards the
they
end.
They were bird-like towards the end, right? Yeah, when we hit our final form, they were birds, right?
Yes.
Really bizarre.
And I have I have a few. Look, Enemy Mind brings it home. Because I think at one point while watching it, I was like, this looks like the,
the yeah, Louis I know what you
Gossett
mean.
Jr., right?
Yeah, Dennis Quaid.
Slacks we're looking for. Because this could have been the same. It was like, was it Slacks a Black Friday thing too? Or no? No, there was just
It was about a sale. Fuck. I feel like we should know that.
Well, it was a good movie. Highly recommend.
It was. I think it was more just they were trying to release those pants at midnight, weren't they? It was like a release. Right.
The new release pants.
Thing. Gotta evil get... pants that kill people.
gotta get those pants.
Now that was a fun movie. Not that I'm hinting about this movie.
SLC Punk epilogue.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This could have been. What happened to Devon Sawa's character after the fact?
It's true.
And Oh, I think I went through all of. Oh no, well, my number one five-word plot summary is my number one five-word plot summary for Black Friday is Devon Sawa, the glow up.
The what?
The glow up.
I missed it.
Yeah. Devin Sawa had his Anthony Michael Hall glow up.
So Black Friday. So I think a good place to start with Black Friday is to talk briefly about Bruce Campbell, since Evil Dead 2 is your favorite movie in the entire universe.
Facts. These are straight facts. I thought you were going to start with this movie. I had a hard time understanding writing.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I think, well,
you know,
it's a Bruce Campbell movie, right? Yeah. I mean, he's the B movie king. That was what he calls himself, right? Or something like that. So,
because I was thinking, like, this movie clearly suffered from a bad story because the actors were good. Like, there wasn't really any weak actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I felt like everybody was like game. They wanted this to be. My problem was that it's not funny enough and it's not violent enough.
Yes.
It's just sort of at one level the entire movie. And there's some good funny stuff, and you can tell the actors are, like, you know, hitting whatever it is that they're given. And, you know, I like conceptually the idea, and I like the design of the parasite alien creature. Yeah. Generally,
but
you
towards
know?
The end, especially not really the beginning, but like when they start to mutate a bit, it's like, oh fuck, they look cool.
And I like the idea that they're like gathering and like as like a hive mind type situation. That was a fun twist on, because originally when I saw that, I was like, oh, well, there's zombies on Black Friday, haha, it's so funny. You know what I mean? It's like Dawn of the Dead made a comment about consumerism. And shopping and how we're all dead. And I feel like people have been trying to make that movie for years and years and years since its release, or making the same comments. And this movie has taken the extra step and actually making it
wacky.
Probably
wasn't what you're going to say.
The like worst, the worst of the worst of human behavior day, you know, Black Friday. There, you know, it's just, I'm sure everyone in the world has seen the videos of people fighting and like trampling over each other at Walmarts and stuff. So, you know, it's all that shit's on, you know, Facebook or what is it called now?
Meta.
Or, yeah, I don't even know. Whatever the fuck it's called.
I was going to say, we definitely know all about that coming from our hometowns. I should say collective towns. Fucking love, angry, yes. Fucking, they love those deals for some reason.
I know, they want the TVs and bullshit.
Yeah, since everything's so expensive from where we're from.
It's true.
Complaining about $3 gas. I'm like, give me a break, guys.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it's under five. Beautiful. I get to fucking... I'm filling up. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, yeah, I gotta say, it was, I'm sorry, Andy Griskoviak, but the script wasn't amazing. But these actors definitely did give it 100%. And like you said, they were game. I'm not sure they were all playing the same game, but they were game.
Oh. Yeah.
Like Steven Peck went all in. He was fun. Even though he was like very quintessential,
excellent,
like just shitty person, but yeah, he was great.
Yeah. I had to look up some of these guys from the cast, and I was surprised that a few of them were child actors. Yeah. Like, she was in. What's
sorry,
her name
is Ivana.
Ivana
Baquero
was, of course, Baquero. Viva Cuervo. And she was Ophelia in Pan's Labyrinth, right? And the other one that like really surprised me was Ryan Lee.
What? I was kidding.
Ryan Lee is the big tooth little kid that was in Super 8. And I think This Is 40. He was like the little blonde haired big tooth kid. And I actually was surprised, right? He's actually excellent in this movie. He was one of the real standouts, in my opinion.
Yeah.
His character and, you know, just his general, you know.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, he had a nice arc throughout the story. Oh, yeah.
Mean, I thought it was kind of weird. I mean, I know he produced the film, but I thought it was weird Devin Sawa gave himself top billing when the movie was kind of clearly about Ryan Lee's character, sort of.
I like how Devin Sawa is the main guy, but he's the one that gets the young girl. Yeah. And,
oh, and you I don't know if you caught this. Because, you know, you probably didn't recognize him. But Michael J. White was the guy that played Spawn in the original live action. I'm just kidding. He hasn't. He looks the fucking same.
Michael J. White. Yeah, nothing's changed about Michael J. White. He looks. Actually, he just looks bigger.
Yeah, he just looks buffer.
He looks more. Yeah. Buffer, yeah, since last I can remember him.
And I gotta admit, I was like, fuck, what a waste of like comedic talent that they could have used, you know, because Michael J. White is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, I kind of figured that they would kill him off because he was too hero-y.
Yeah.
I thought maybe he would be, the joke would be that he's the one that is like, the toughest, the bravest, and then he'd be the first to go.
With that said, though, you know, like then, it's kind of weird that they're able to like outsmart and outmaneuver that creature, the fucking is it fair to call this person a Karen? Is that kind of a rude thing to say? The rude customer at the beginning, the one that had that older lady with the necklace. She was funny, by the way.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
Michael J. White, you know, like gets eaten by her mutated character. But then Devin Sawa can outmaneuver the same mutated character with one roller skate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which also, I don't know if you know.
Yeah, there's a little bit of inconsistencies. Yeah.
Devin Sawa is from SLC Punk. And Idle Hands. And if it wasn't Edward Furlong, it was Devin Sawa in these movies back in the 90s.
Yeah. He, well, he had the fucking, what did he have? The Final Destination movie, right? He just had that one movie.
That's right. You are correct.
I like how he tries to like bill himself as like horror icon Devin Sawa. But it's like, dude, you had like one good movie that spawned a bunch of shitty sequels that those movies end up being about the deaths, not really about the story or anything.
But, you know, you gotta give that series cred for like who else got their start in that sort of? Mary Elizabeth Winstead, right? She was in The Final Destination.
Oh, I think you're right, yeah.
Which What you like watch that movie and then you realize it's actually a prequel to the first one.
Another one of those? Oh my god, what? Because wasn't she in The Thing also? Or is that the joke?
No, what am I missing? I don't know. The movie she came out in for Final Destination, I think, yeah, it was called The Final Destination and it was like the fifth one, I think. And you watch the entire movie and they kind of set it up like it's another sequel. But at the end, somebody pulls out their plane tickets and it's like a quick cutaway of like the exact date that the plane crashes in the beginning of the first one.
Oh.
So they were trying to like wrap it up that way, but kind of sets made too much money. So they made another fucking movie.
It's like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, we know about if it just makes any money,
yeah,
they'll make a sequel like Halloween. Like, still fucking make it.
Hostile.
They have no reservations. Yeah. Yeah. So they just keep going and going. Yeah. Do you think this is another, so you sort of mixed on it then, I guess, right? This isn't one of, Bruce Campbell. I think Bruce Campbell is really good in it, but what do you think of Bruce Campbell in this movie?
I mean, I thought he was good, but he's also not really, like, he's clearly in it just to be
in the movie.
Have Bruce Campbell in the movie. That's what it felt like. Like, in the grand scheme of things, it almost seems like they wrote more lines for his character just because they got Bruce Campbell. or like they let him ad lib.
Yeah, he was one of the producers. Yeah. So I imagine him producing, him taking on a more minor character. That it was a way of getting the movie made, getting it released. You know what I mean? With the horror theme, you know?
Yeah.
He probably was excited about doing something like this. So I could see that. I could see why they would want to bill him at the top and then he kind of be just like a minor character in the back. I didn't realize Devin Sawa was in this. I didn't recognize him. Yeah. I was like, whoa, shit. Yeah, it took me a sec. I was like, I saw the name, and when she pops up in the first scene, I'm like, oh shit, like Devin Sawa.
Doesn't he
older? He looks really like, old.
What's his name? Fucking no.
Jeremy Renner, Hawkeye.
I was gonna say, is it not Randall Flagg? That's from fucking Stephen King. Rick Flagg. What's that actor's name?
Oh. Joel,
yeah,
Kellerman, he was also in the Predator movie, like that, right? Yeah. We're good with names. Yeah,
no last. Oh shit,
no last names.
We're sued.
I don't know. Fuck.
But yeah, I thought. I mean, I'm gonna call out Bruce Campbell for maybe getting tired of doing overnights, and he's like, you know what? What if I just have a speech and I jump to my death? Because I'm tired of doing overnights in the fucking cold. So.
He's like, we're almost out of money. Let's just kill me off. And I go home. Yeah, no, I could see that.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, I'm always going to like anything Bruce Campbell's in, and even if it's like utter trash, as long as I can see him act. Like, I'm not going to pretend the man with the screaming brains.
Yeah, that's the thing with, that's the thing with him. Like, no matter what sort of project he jumps on, it's always, he's always the best thing in it. You know, with just, like sheer charisma and just, you know, I don't know, like willingness of, his charm is just like through and through all of these movies, even if they're like an alien apocalypse, right? Or like the, yeah, like the other, even like okay movies, right? Like Boba Hotep and stuff like that. So,
yeah, okay. I'm waiting for
that movie. Scene. Is excellent. Yeah.
So, yeah,
yeah.
Bit of trivia. It seems whenever he does these movies, he's very, very serious. And he's already got everything kind of planned out, and he's already got, like, you know, there isn't a whole lot of leeway with him, I guess. He takes all this stuff, like, to heart, and he, like, makes sure, like, if somebody starts screwing up, he'll be upset. And I know this because I did a film with, the name escapes me.
never heard of it. Name escapes me. No, I'm just kidding.
Ash vs. Evil Dead. Ray Santiago plays Pablo. I did a film with them, and would chat with him a lot, and he like was like, all right, what do you want to know about Bruce Campbell? I was like, I didn't even bring him up. He's like, what do you want to know? I'm like, all right. So that's just like an interesting thing. He's like, well, I don't want to ruin the illusion for you. He's not as fun loving as you would think on set. And I'm like, I don't know. I think that's I respect that. Yeah.
Super serious.
I think most
I could see that.
Comedic actors are pretty serious on set. People don't realize that. Like, you're not going to get a whole lot of conversation out of somebody like Zach Galifianakis, for example. You know, he's like very serious about going in and doing his thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even some of, I mean, I think people have that impression because you see a lot of like post-credit scenes or like, oh, they're like laughing and they're saying stuff and scenes, and, you know, breaking character, breaking the scene or whatever. And I mean,
no.
Films aren't really like that. Actors aren't really like that. Yeah. I mean, they take it deadly serious, and rightfully so, right? I mean, they're there to perform, right? And And, you know, it's a lot of pressure and they got to be even, in even character. Like the wackier, you know,
people, so. Like, let's say, like Tim and Eric. Both those guys, even though they're kind of zany and wacky, they're very serious mm-hmm. on set. Because they don't want to waste people's time, I think, is the idea. Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, definitely.
But yeah. But this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think people miss that, right? I mean, there's so many, not to continue this point, but just like, just the idea that like people, there's a lot of like, there's a lot of money, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of like, hurry, 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 there's shoot, and then you somehow, there's lights, there's a camera, there's like 10, 15 people standing and sitting around watching you, and you have to like be in a character and perform. Like, I can see it being like, okay, I need to like focus and not waste anybody's time. Because it's all money. It's all money being wasted, yeah,
especially
I guess.
Like, well, you know. I know people know that there's crews on set, but I don't think they realize how much each of these people need to get paid. And that pretty standard across the board, we're working for 12 hours because they need to fit a tight schedule in each day. It's a lot of work.
No, yeah, exactly.
Who's fucking...
It's a lot of work.
Movies suck.
Movies are hard, guys. Movies are hard.
What are you doing watching movies?
Stop watching them.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to a museum.
Read a book, but books are even harder. No, I'm just kidding. They got a bunch of words. Oh, man.
That, yeah. You can't read them at night. Need a light on.
Oh, I was gonna ask, how did you feel about Stephen Peck's
first word problems? Death?
That was probably my favorite because it was the funniest one, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was waiting. He was the one character he played, Brian, that he was the one character that I was wondering if there was going to be like a redemption to his character. Because I felt like, especially towards the end, everybody had a moment to like, well, I'm going to stand up and fight the monster, which is kind of silly. But, and he never had that. So he was. He ended up being kind of like the legit, like just a bad dude, right? Like the genuinely like terrible person in this scenario.
And he was like, well, I'm going to turn into one of these things, which also doesn't track with the way this parasite works. I think, right. They don't just get bit. They need to get like shot in the face with that splooge tube is what I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
Look like splooge.
Like white.
The splooge tube.
What is it? Like splooge? Yeah, it did.
And he got bit and he was like, oh, no. He tells him to just go. Yeah. And then I didn't quite understand how he figured out Brian bit him. Even though, like, because he saw, like, a part of his shirt or something. He's like, oh, fucking Brian or something like that. I was like, how did you figure that out? That doesn't make any sense. But then, for him to be like, I made a decision. He was a bad person.
Yeah.
He's like, what? That also doesn't track. I don't think he would care.
Yeah. I kind of feel like that. I mean, I don't want to harp on it, but Devin Sawa is like, feels like the character that's most jammed in here, even though I think that initially there's an interesting idea of him being a divorced dad who still works at a retail store, right? Like, I feel like they didn't spend enough time. I didn't spend enough time getting to know these characters.
Right.
I felt like we almost jump in immediately into the incurring incident, right, with the parasite, and then all of a sudden we're just go, right, one situation after the other, and
which I'll say, if you want. Another story about a father who's away from his family on a holiday because he's forced to help another person, then I highly recommend Hawkeye.
Oh, boom goes the dynamite.
Boom.
Yeah.
I said I would mention it because I love the show.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Real quick, what do you enjoy about it?
Oh, man. Well, for one, I really enjoy Jeremy Renner as an actor. Like when he's acting, he's like fucking fantastic. And this, they finally give him something to finally chew on, is I guess the way I'm going to word it. Because in the Marvel movies, like, and I know they keep giving him the lines too to kind of justify that he's just a dude with a bow and arrow and like he's just kind of like the sidelines guy. Because they don't really do much with him, you know. But except when he comes back as Ronan and he's just like murdering a bunch of people, that's kind of fun.
Yeah,
which comes back to haunt him in the show. So,
yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's like a better show. There's more feeling, is what I'm gonna say. There's more feeling, and the stakes actually matter too. I mean, I know the stakes matter in the rest of them because the universe could be destroyed, but this is like more personable. I think you could relate to this a little more, even though you're definitely not going to get in a situation where you're like, "Oh fuck, I got to kill a bunch of people with a bow and arrow." But you know, it deals a lot with he's only human, so. They establish right away that he's got a hearing aid and that people keep approaching him about like saving the city. And he just really doesn't like the attention. Like he's just feeling weird and old and that kind of stuff. Oh, it's good. I highly recommend.
Nice. Yeah. I only saw the first episode. I didn't quite enjoy it. I just haven't had time to watch anymore, but it was a show I was going to continue with.
Because we might get Kingpin. This is a possibility.
Spoiler?
Maybe spoiler. Maybe actually Vincent D'Onofrio, but I don't know. I can't call it.
What?
I know. Trippy.
So I think that one of the problems that I was kind of talking about this before we started, that like Jeremy Renner. Like, they do such a disservice to the Hawkeye character because he's supposed to be the fun, quippy guy, right?
Yeah. But then they gave everybody else that fucking character.
Everybody's fun and quippy in these fucking movies. So Hawkeye does not stand out whatsoever. He has nothing to lean on, you know? You know, like, Thor's funny. Iron Man's funny. You know, like, all these guys are just, like, smartasses. When, in fact, like... Hawkeye is the original smartass of this group, so he kind of doesn't fit in these parts.
No, so they made him serious.
Yeah, but I'm also against the fact that I don't know if you heard or heard about this, that a lot of the promotional artwork, a lot of the concepts for the show isn't being credited to the artist, the actual guy who drew all of that stuff.
Oh, shit.
Alexander Aja. Like, they're crediting Matt Fraction, who wrote it, right? Like, he's getting, like, a special thanks or, like, in the credits and everything. But he's not Alexander Aja, like, with the silhouetted characters. Like, some of the artwork you may see, some of the silhouetted characters that are purple and white with the Hawkeye logo, that's created by the artist, Alexander Aja. Who doesn't even get a special thanks or like thank you. His credits are not even in the name, which is kind of like, to me, a big fuck you to, and it goes back to the whole thing where Marvel doesn't seem to pay enough respect to where its roots are, right? Like, of course they love, you know, Stan Lee. They love, you know,
I guess they would love Jack Kirby, but
yeah, I was going to say Jack Kirby, but they're kind of like, it's more of a DC thing. Yeah. But
well, I mean, I feel like they did him a good service with the first Doctor Strange movie.
Okay.
It's not like my favorite movie of all time, but like they did a really good Jack Kirby style. Like everything's very psychedelic.
Hmm. But not to get credited for your creation, because I mean, Alexander Aja and Matt Fraction had this amazing Hawkeye run. It's the Hawkeye that they're basing. They're basing the adaptation for these movies, right?
Yeah.
So, and then they've taken it a step further with the TV show. They're really like really leaning into it. Just similarly, like how Green Arrow, the Arrow show, was based on a run by Jeff Lemire, who wrote Green Arrow during the New 52. It's taking a lot of those characteristics and putting it into the show because they were really popular runs. And they're doing the same thing, even like Pizza Dog and all these other characters that are there. Are from that run of the series. So it's just a little thing that kind of just like, it's upsetting, you know, like just kind of like Marvel's such a giant machine and they really just want to turn out stuff, and they forget to really thank the people along the way, the smaller people along the way that have actually created these runs, you know?
Yeah. Unlike DC. Oh, wait. I was going to say, you know, I really like Stephen Amell, but isn't his portrayal of Green Arrow, which I'm sure reflects the new 52 run a little bit, but I feel like it's like a little too Batman-y.
Yeah, it became that. It became a little Batman-y. But a lot of the early storylines were sort of centered on, you know, that Jeff Lemire run, and then eventually they spun out and did what, you know, whatever that shit ran for like almost 10 years, right? Something stupid like that. Yeah. So yeah, eventually it spins out into whatever it is they decide to take it, right? But so, I mean, that's my confliction with Hawkeye. It's like, dude, just credit your artist. Like, these guys, you know, put a lot of work, good work, you know, and they're not really getting any being acknowledged or compensated for it. So
yeah, I mean, with that said, it's like I feel like most people haven't even heard of these folks, right? And people know who Scarlett Johansson is, and they fucked her over too, like very publicly. Yeah. Right? They don't care.
No, like, yeah, really, they're too big.
Yeah, they don't give a
shit. They're too big. I mean, they don't give a shit. It's just, you know, let's turn out a product. Let's you know. And that was our review of Black Friday.
That was it. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, all in all, I don't know if I'm going to revisit Black Friday. That's all I'm going to say. I don't. It's not my favorite.
I mean, it's not. It is very middle of the road, which is like, if it was just a little more like gory, it would be awesome. If it's just a little more, you know, head chops off, more blood, more gore, that would have been nice. Had it been even funnier, more dry wit, more sarcastic, maybe more filthy in its humor, it could have been, you know,
like something to lean on. How do you describe a movie like this? Because for me, I don't know, I don't even know if it's really middle of the road, because it's it feels real like a, I don't know how to say, like catch and release sort of fishing idea, like, oh, you got it, but I'm gonna put it back. Instead of actually going through with like with the joke or with the gore or with like any of the storylines, really, or like, you know, it just never it got you right up to that point, and then it like gave up. I felt kind of like that throughout the entire movie. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of like half measures. I agree. Yeah, no, I mean, I just, one of those movies that I think. That it's a movie you can sell. It's an easy movie to sell, right?
Yeah.
You know, horror movie set on Black Friday. Oh, perfect idea, right? Like, oh, that sounds funny. And then it's just, you know, execution of it, I think somehow, I don't really like saying this about movies, but, and I hate being critical this way, but I think I'm going to say it anyways. I thought the direction was like
sloppy.
Just visually, it's a very like flat.
Yeah.
Not a very attractive movie, right? No. Like there's nothing like spectacular about the direction. In a sense, like visually, it's not a very flattering movie, you know? I don't know. That was one thing that kind of like took me out of it. There was no, like, you know, like, I don't want to say creativity, but flair or anything. There was something to really catch your attention.
No.
It was very, very standard and purposeful.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Which is kind of a bummer, because it looked like they had so much to fucking work with. It was obviously, one of my favorite reviews in the movie was like, man, this is definitely one of the worst like big budget movies I've ever seen. I was like, where are you seeing a big budget here, bro? Yeah. This is definitely not a big budget movie. Like,
no.
I think I did see it as IATSE, but I could call this being like a tier one at best, which, you know, if anybody knows the tiers, tier one is very low. Because design wise, I thought they pulled it off. I think they found Because where'd they shoot this? Like Massachusetts or some shit?
Oh, I didn't get the location.
Somewhere like that. And they found an old Babies R Us, which we all know Toys R Us is out of business now. And they just like, you know, obviously
R.I.P.
dressed it in. And I was like, this is good. This is great. Like, they did a great job, like, really dressing the shit out of this. And I also saw that there was only like four or five dressers. So, like, kudos to you guys for working your ass off.
No, that's a great point. Yeah. Like,
it looked great.
No, yeah. Like, all the, I thought like you mentioned, everything you just mentioned, I agree. Like, all that stuff seemed well within the world they were trying to build or in that existing, like big box stores like that, you know, brick and mortar stores. I thought it was really well done. I think part of the problem is that it's like a brick and mortar store. Like, who still shops for toys? Yeah. I think that's inherently one of the issues. They didn't clearly define what kind of store it was, right? Like, is it like a Walmart-ish store, or is it like a...
Well, the place was called,
you know, electronic store. Yeah, which was...
Yeah. I got to point out, congrats on whoever got to take home that battery-operated pneumatic nailer, which made no sense for the story, because there is nothing... There's no reason to have a battery-powered pneumatic nailer, but congrats on the new DeWalt guy, whoever that was.
They probably built that, right? Like, oh, look at it. It's cool.
Yeah, those nailers run like $300, $400, the battery-powered ones.
Wow, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, I didn't think about that. But yeah, what department did he work in?
I know, yeah. He's the only guy wearing overalls. And, I don't know.
They all were technically wearing overalls, right? There's certain choices about this movie that didn't really like sell me into like this world. I don't know. I think we keep talking about it, but I think Slacks did a better job of these two movies. I see them almost similarly, too, right? Yeah, but I felt like
Slacks was obviously far superior.
I in the sense that like Slacks knew what it was and it like leaned into it, right? Like it better defined what sort of story it was, right? Also, the book, to explain, like Slacks is also set in one location. It's also kind of like an invasion ish in the movie, and they had a ton of gore, which is super cool.
Yeah,
right.
And I also think what helped them is Patricia Gomez and Elza Kephart. I think worked at a Gap for a while, so you know she was pulling that experience, and like she got to see it firsthand. You can kind of tell, like, dude who wrote Black Friday probably didn't work at a toy store. Like, you know, didn't actually do a legit Black Friday. Just like saw something on YouTube or something. Yeah, that's kind of what I got from it.
I did like that the movie did comment on the sort of inherent sadness of people having to work these sort of holidays and sort of having this big corporation, you know, not caring about their workers, you know. I thought that was smart to comment on that, at least, if it was briefly. Because it is something a lot of people have to deal with, you know, working on Thanksgiving night.
And then they don't get Black the time Friday. And a half like they were promised. And they don't get a bonus like they were told. And then they find out that they're going to get laid off after they were done with them.
So let me, I'm going to grind my gear a little bit here, because just real quick, mentioning my work, I had to work Black Friday, right? This is the first year I found out, in 5 years working where I work, this is the first year I found out that Black Friday, that Friday after Thanksgiving, is a working holiday, which means time and a half.
Oh.
They never told us that. So I was so pissed. I was like, dude, how do you not say that? And my manager was like, oh, I forgot.
Okay, sure.
So I was not very happy about that. And yeah, I'm glad it's just you and me. I'm telling you, you and me this.
No one.
Nobody else will know.
Unless your coworkers listen. Uh-oh.
But yeah, I mean,
do we explain anything about the movie? I can, like, do it in, like, 5 seconds. Alien parasite, maybe. Right? Turns into, like, cotton candy, sort of. Infects people. Everybody starts yeah. like worshiping this thing and giving it presents, which somehow makes it grow, and then feeds it shoppers. Also, not explained, because that's another part. Like, a lot of the story doesn't connect. It doesn't flow. Become because the thing grows because of all the shoppers, but all the shoppers were yeah. spending most of the time grabbing and then giving it to the thing. Like, I don't know. Like, they're still Black Friday shopping almost. And then they were also ripping people apart for reasons.
Hmm. Yeah, they didn't define they didn't define the levels no, of the creature transformation.
And then this thing finally enough, grew
right, like
to just yeah, kaiju size.
The kaiju building size. Is
like burning down. And still stays alive at the end. And that's that. Yeah,
that ending was so flat, right?
I thought it would have been smarter because they thought they killed it. Remember, like, they had a whole conversation in the car before they left too, which I was like, just get the fuck out of there. And then if they wanted to be smart about it, like, oh no, it's not over, they should have done like a pan out. I mean, like, just like give it like a big wide, and then you see that there's other kaiju level size creatures popping up at other stores. Because according to this movie, the beginning, mm-hmm. Some guy got infected at a different store, right?
Yeah, they were attacking. It seemed like the whole there was massive attacks going everywhere because they had called the corporate, right? And they were under attack. And corporate's the one that ended up telling them about, like, they're all forming together. They're all, you know, at the center of something. So
yeah,
so clearly whatever they this was like the same one in more than one place.
Coming back. It could have been another one, you know. I don't know. That was kind of a... It was poorly written there. I said it.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
It won B-movie, but it didn't do that well.
You're 100% right.
And that's that.
Oh well. Okay, do you have any do you have any last thoughts yet, or do you want to talk about anything else?
I feel like Ivana Banchero had a terrible character arc, which I feel like kind of puts it in that she's a female character, so her character line's gonna suffer, which is kind of lame. You know, she's just there to be the young girl that dates Devin Sawa, which is kind of fucking lame.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was fine. I guess.
So how much cooler would it have been if the female character fell in love with the germaphobe guy?
I think it would have been a lot cooler if they made it more realistic and none of that shit would matter or happen at all. And they just made it a survival movie as opposed to like trying to give these people relationships, like really forcing relationships. It's like, it doesn't matter.
No, but how cool would it have been if Brian kissed Bruce Campbell's character?
Oh, I like that. There you go. That's what we needed.
And then Devin Sawa came in and did a triple kiss together.
I think I would have given the movie 10 out of 10. This would have been
easy 10 out of 10. Easy. No. And then Michael J. White was like, "What? What's going on?" And then get killed by the chicken monster that was there.
No, he saves them all by sacrificing himself because he's like, "I gotta protect love."
Oh, it could have been. What could have been with this movie? All right. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Show us your sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Bruce Campbell's Evil Dead 2 Dead by Dawn 10 out of 10 sexy spooky bones.
Whoa!
But I'm going to give Black Friday 4.6 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to be honest. I was probably about a 5. So I was like, it's not bad. It's not bad. After talking about you, I know there's a lot of stuff that I just like did not like about this movie.
Damn.
I'm going to go.
What a far departure from Black Christmas, right? That movie's fucking great.
Oh my God. Black Christmas. What a fucking classic that movie was. Oh shit. That was so good. Yeah. Doesn't deserve the black name.
No.
Yeah. I mean, there's not even.
Quick.
Yeah,
I was gonna say quick story before we log off here.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my coworkers, Brian, and I were at Universal Prop House, right? And we were trying to locate these shades for these lamps that we had, and they went missing. But they never made it onto a truck or even onto like our cart when we like. I mean, there's a whole process to like get these things or whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the show we're working on right now is called the Black Lady Sketch Show.
Ow, name drop. Ow. Okay.
The lady that was helping us, of course, didn't know our names personally, right? But she was really trying to get the ball rolling, trying to figure out what happened to these shades because they were high end shades, blah, blah, blah. At one point, we walk away a little out of like earshot and she couldn't find us and she was looking for my coworker, Brian. She was like, "Hello? Black lady, because she was doing a black lady sketch show." And he's like, "Oh, hey, right here." And I fucking cracked up so hard. I was like, "What a rare instance that nobody was around for." It's like black lady right here, and I was like, "Brian, you are not a black lady, but
that's good."
I just wanted to bring that up before I forgot. I thought that was one of the funniest things I've encountered this year.
Yeah. Awesome. That's a good one. But yeah, no, I was gonna give it 3 sexy spooky bones because there's not enough Ice Cube and it's not a Friday movie. So
yeah, exactly.
I was trying to figure that out. I was like, where does this fit into the Friday timeline?
I don't know. Yeah.
I was like, ooh, that's a little on the nose. Black Friday? All right. But yeah.
This is true.
So
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm deeply disappointed. So, no.
Yeah. Especially because we paid for this before it came out.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It actually came out of the limo. It had like a couple weeks run in the limo. or is right going to have a small run.
What am I going to pay for it?
Nope, don't do it. All right, guys and gals and non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to go.